Oh, I have. Oh, my hat's far away. I do have a hat on the ground.
All I have on the ground is this. A lightsaber.
Not a hat, though. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pointless Discourse with myself, Apocalypse, and D-Pain.
It's been years.
Since we've recorded, not since we've put out an episode. Oh, also, did I ever tell you I figured out my audio for my mic, so now it looks like my mic is peaking a little bit?
Mm-hmm. It's peeking over the clouds, just saying hello.
Let me lower down my recording volume just a tad. Windows did the thing that I think it's done to you before, where it's just like, hey, your input mic is just at 60%. I'm like, what did I do? Why did you do this to me?
People complain that my mic is too loud anyway. I just say, I got big lungs. So don't think lungs have anything to do with noise. But
but do you have a fun fact for us this episode?
Yeah, and it's one of those things that it's a fact that would be better literally next episode.
Oh no. Oh, wait, what's next episode? While you start to read out the fact, maybe I'll figure out.
So, fact number 18. There is a Bill Cipher statue.
Okay, go on.
Hirsch started a scavenger hunt for his fans to find the said statue. He left several clues that took fans to Russia, Atlanta, Japan. Why is there not an and between Atlanta and Japan? Anyway, eventually fans found it in Reedsport, Oregon. Hirsch left little goodies for the lucky persons who would find the statue.
Fun.
I don't know how I would feel if I went to Russia. I find that Atlanta is like, it's just like, they had to go to Atlanta, the giant forest in there. Like, I don't know, I don't think I would be super mad if going to Japan, but it's still like, you travel across the world to like follow these clues that you see in this children's cartoon. Just to find out that it's an organ.
I feel like I would be more hurt if it wasn't an organ, given, you know, where the show is set.
I know. I don't know. It's just more me, like, looking at finances now. I'm like, I spent all this money to go literally around the world, and it was just over there.
Sorry, I heard loud noises. I was like, is that knocking? But no, I think it's them tamping stuff out for the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear anything.
Okay. I'm going to, like, kind of sit with, like, my one ear cup pushed back a little bit. I mean, I have open ear headsets, but it's still, you know, some stuff still gets blocked.
When I hear open ear headsets, I just imagine that it's like if you turn to the side, it's just a giant hole in the headset.
Kind of, essentially.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of tiny holes to make up one big hole.
That way I can feel the breeze on my ear holes.
But, I'm very tired, so apologies for me.
I'm very tired.
Hello. What are you today? Who are you today?
That's a question I ask every day. Look in the mirror. Who are you? Wait, did I even introduce myself? Or did you?
I introduced you.
Okay. I was listening, but whether my brain was comprehending is a different question. That I think we found the answer to.
Good afternoon. It's not good morning anymore.
Yep. Guys, we were planning on meeting at 10, but I was in the middle of a walk because I wasn't paying attention to the time.
Which is fine, because I was also waiting on people to arrive to do stuff for my house, but they are out taking care of that now.
Mm-hmm. And then we're like, okay. And then we just, it was a normal hop and pain interaction where we just extended because, like, we had a whole week of things just like word vomit. you know what? Every once in a while, I'm just sitting there. Like, it's not something, like, I dwell on a whole lot, but it's, like, every once in a while, my brain's like, when we eventually do stop recording this, it's like, wait, who the heck am I going to complain to about
the multitude of things?
The atrocities of the world and my lack of ability to do anything to it. I guess I'll have to start my own podcast.
Things I would say to Hop if I could.
Yeah, it's gonna be Hop Talks minus Hop.
Dear Hop.
It's just, yeah, it's just a letter.
You start with the date. Blog. Yeah, you start with the date. So imagine a piece of paper in the top right corner. I have written today's date, and you say the date, mm-hmm. And then on the left, dear Hop, comma. And then you just ramble, and you're like, oh.
Today, I wonder if you are still alive, even though I can see you live in Discord.
But yes, so while we are still here and present in this podcast, known as Pointless Discourse, we are watching through a lot of media. We have a lot of media planned to watch through, and this week is episode 18 of Gravity Falls.
I'm checking real quick because I think I said in the last episode or two that I would see if we had any reports of votes or stars or whatever.
Likes, comments.
Those were the words that my brain was trying to do, but didn't.
Oh. We're very bad at finding wherever these are hidden.
Yeah. No, we still have a 5.0 on Apple Podcasts.
Nice.
I lost. Okay, there we go. I'm like clicking too many things, but the fun thing is the analytics page is really fun to look at now. Yeah. Not so much for listens, but just all the colors.
Yeah, because I know you said you didn't like that it seemed to have not as much information as you would have liked.
Also, we do have the episode ranking now of how many listens things get. Which 90 songs is still our biggest one, but Flight of the Conchords is creeping up on it.
Mm.
And then followed by video game theme songs and 80s music videos, both at 90 listens. And then Always Sunny at a 78. Which we think we got that big boost because they started their own podcast.
Yeah, so we probably showed up in like search and we were like, oh, hey guys.
Hey. It's like, these aren't the people. It is interesting, like, looking at this, like, just seeing how, like, the older episodes, like, just how they've gotten listens and stuff. And then, like, kind of scrolling down a little bit and it's like, okay, there's a haiku character.
Oh,
ranking.
When did Spotify acquire Anchor?
Well, Anchor was always part of Spotify. Oh. But I think they merged it.
Okay.
Yeah, like recently, like within the past month or so, they kind of merged it together. So, which is why we have
so many
things.
So many more colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now we can really see everyone who's listening to it, where a quarter of our audience comes from Amazon Music.
Wow.
And then the other quarter is from a web browser. This is the other thing that always cracks me up when I see other people talk about, like, analytic stuff. Whoa, our age group just really shifted. I just looked at it. Apparently no one our age listens to this podcast.
Not anymore,
We either have eight, like, college-age students. Hey, college kids, we're cool adults. And then we have people that are older than... Oh, I just saw that age bracket. I am only a year away from that one.
We're almost there.
Almost there.
Yeah, if you go to all time, then it's mostly our age group.
Oh, yeah. It was the last 30 days. What about last week? Not enough data. That's rude. Last 90 days. There we go. It's still... If you go to last 90 days, we're still not represented.
But this is only stuff that you can get from Spotify, so that's why it's
particular
numbers. Then,
which makes sense. Yeah, and then we're still biggest thing.
We have a listen from Alaska. Do we have every state now?
I don't know. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, no, no. Don't count it. I have a faster way to do this. Export 9, to CSV. 10, okay. 11,
12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Oh, I misscrolled. 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. Wait, District of Columbia is in a state? Well, now I lost count. I think we're like in the 30s. Oh, we gotta listen to Montana.
44.
Oh.
And if you want to discount DC, then it'd be 43.
Yeah. We have a listener in butt, Montana. I don't know that's how you pronounce it, but... Well, thank you, everybody. All you listeners.
We appreciate it.
It's... I think one of my favorite things I see, like, on TikTok is when people are just, like, complaining, like, at their analytics... Because it's like, it's normally like female creators just like, why are only men watching my stuff? Where are the women? I remember there was this one person constantly complaining about it. And it was just like, she's like, where is it? And then like she, like it was like a month later she looked and it's like, we're at 50-50. The women are here. and then I was like, I was curious, and I looked at my analytics on TikTok, which for anyone who doesn't know, all I do is post food stuff.
Oh, I haven't looked at mine in a long time. Mine was mainly women, given that I was a star due.
Mine is majority, like, it was like almost 100% women just watching. I was like, are the dudes? But then it's like, I don't show up or talk or do anything on mine, so it's just like, it's literally just food and text.
Followers?
Come look now.
My followers is 67% female, 33% male.
I'm part of the 30.
The last TikTok I posted was June of 2022.
I don't know why my brain translated it as 2002. I'm like, I remember that year.
All right, but
how do I find the analytics on this thing? Oh well, I'll do that later. Right now, I gotta roll a die so we can get this episode on the road. I'm gonna roll
if
this
you're watching
one
video
called
for
Stinky Cheese.
Stinky Cheese. If you're watching this on YouTube, D-Pain, roll your dice. Yeah.
Oh. I rolled an 18. I really should, like, I looked up and I'm like, you know what? I really should say my number before I look at yours. For audio listeners, Hop rolled a 6.
Yes.
And I rolled an 18.
So this one is yours.
Yes.
So if I disappear at any point, then you can feel free to continue talking about the episode.
Yeah, I'm just going to.
I make that joke because the people working on the stuff outside my house, who knows when they'll need me to pay them for the work.
Oh, man. Now I'm just going to start that second podcast within a podcast just called Deer Hop. Now I hope it happens. But anyway, let's open up the transcript that I forgot to open. There we go. This is the episode 18 of season 1 called Lamb Before Swine. This episode opens up with Deputy Derlin and Sheriff Blubbs in a car. As this is like a car speeds by going 99 miles per hour, which is funny in the transcript. It says 159.3 kilometers per hour. And I'm like, man, that's a buck wild number when you sit there and look at it. But anyway, they're just kind of doing their own thing. As they're, you just hear Sheriff Blubbs and they're like, focus, deputy, remember your training. And then it kind of shifts the camera to show Deputy Derlin doing a children's maze. And then somehow misses the treasure chest that is the very obvious thing. He is right next to it and then just beelines it towards the shark's mouth. And he's like, and he is upset to where Blubbs, he's like, well, Derlin's just like, oh, dang it, I almost got the treasure. And Blubbs is like, the dime we spit together is treasure enough. and then the car begins shaking, and claws rip the roof off of the car, where, and just flies away. As Derlin's like, do you think we should report that? As Blub responds, or we can go for a ride on a new convertible. And that's what they do, as a pterodactyl, or pterodactyl, flies past the moon, and we get the theme song. Moving forward from there, we have, we go to the Mystery Shack, where Stan is giving a tour of the Mystery Shack, within, kind of just, like, a Disney guided tour, where everyone sits in the car, and he has the megaphone, and everyone's like, ooh. And then there's the boy that's like, I need to use the bathroom. He's like, save all questions at the end of the tour. Well, he got his question answered. to where he's going down the road, and we have Mabel and Waddles just happy that they have the house to themselves. And they pretty much decide to have a dance party. And Waddles is just like, yep, let's do it in pig talk. To where we have a little montage of them turning on the radio and doing a photo shoot, dancing, having a good old time, falling asleep in a sunbeam. Mabel's just having the time of her life as Stan finally comes back, walking in, counting some money, and trips over Mabel and Waddles as he gets frustrated. I'm like, why are you guys on the floor? And Mabel's like, just being cute and great. As a very reasonable response of Stan saying, and I thought your brother was weird. and Mabel's like, no, he's more like, and then puts on one of the Dipper's hats and is like, ah, let's solve this mystery. I kiss a pillow with Wendy's face drawn on it. where Stan finds that funny. Where Waddles begins chewing Stan's pants, and he has enough of Waddles and demands that the pig goes outside, where Mabel's like, no, it's not safe outside. In short of what I hear a lot of people say about their pets, Waddles is an indoor pig, not an outdoor pig. And so they get into a little bit of an argument where Mabel closes that argument. Stan's like, people don't roll around in their own filth, except for Seuss. It's like, that's a bummer for Seuss. And Mabel's like, and we're lesser for it. Maybe we should be put outside. Think about that. And walks away. While we go to the middle of the woods, where we have Dipper and Seuss just chilling there. And they are setting up a trap to catch a picture of this thing that's pretty much ripping the roofs off of cars. Apparently there's like, he had a few other articles that I can't remember, but like the pterodactyl is like taking other stuff, like, and I can't, it's not saying the transcript, the pictures of everything, but it's like it definitely has the roof of the cop car, at least the results of it. And so they're trying out there to get the picture, as Seuss, he's like, today I'm sweating from heat and excitement. and they're all happy, and they're getting ready, and they're just like, okay, well, what are we gonna do? And this is when he tells him he got some meat with three cameras all set up, and as soon as that thing gets pulled, we'll be able to get all the pictures. They kind of get stuck in the tree sap as they try to get it off. They high five, which they get stuck in the sap, and Dipper's like, this is poorly planned, as like they kind of look away as we hear this huge like rush of wind, and like all the cameras go off, and it turns, the meat is gone, and all the ropes are broken, and they're just like, oh yeah. So then we cut back to the Mystery Shack as the TV, she's like, hey, you. And Mei was like, me? as it has this dude. Oh, and at this point, Mabel is making Waddles a red sweater with her face on it. And she has a sweater with Waddle's face on it. And pretty much it's this infomercial. It's like, are you constantly sick of constantly dropping your baby? As the guy's trying to eat pizza, as he's just like holding this baby as like a watermelon, like under his arm. And the man's like, yes. And I'm Bobby Zimbabwe. And what you need is the Huggy Wubby Tubby Bundle. To where the immediate response is, I can hold 10 babies at once. And I'm like, why do you have that much babies? But I collect them. But, yeah, so they're trying to sell it. And Bobby Zimbabwe, he's like, now I know what you're thinking. Does it work for pigs? And he's like, of course it does, stupid. And he's like, feel your pig's heartbeat next to yours. It works for pigs. And Mabel's like, I need it. To where Stan, rightfully so, is like, why?
And as they're sitting there in matching sweaters.
Yeah. And so Mabel's like, no, I need to go get it, and I need you to look after Waddles when I'm gone. And Stan pretty much is like, heck no. I have tourists coming through. There's no way I'm watching your pig. And Mabel's like, look, I know you're not crazy. He's fat, naked, jerk. He's a fat, naked jerk. And he's like, just don't let him outside. And Stan's like, fine, I promise, and all that stuff. So Mabel's like, sweet, runs out of the house to go get it and get the stuff. As Stan looks Waddles in the eyes and he's like, I'm watching you, pig. As he points out his finger, and it's just like, Waddles just puts his hoof on Stan's hand, finger, and he's like, eh.
They held hands.
He didn't like it. Oh no, that whole like little snippet just made me laugh. Just there's a lot of things that made me laugh in this episode. But at the same time, Dipper and Seuss come in with the cameras, where Dipper tells him, hey, I'm gonna go develop these pictures, see what we got. And Seuss like, I'm gonna go make us victory nachos. So they go, as they go and split off, Stan is bringing some tourists through to the final exhibit, and he's like, yes, the most hideous creature in Rome to man, and it's just a mirror. And they're like, ah, okay.
It's us.
Get it. Yeah. And Stan's like, okay, I hope we have fun here, but seriously. And he brings him over to the a unicorn made out of corn, the corn of corn. I don't know, I'm tired. And reveals it as we just see the wireframe of Waddles eating the last piece of corn. And all the tourists are like, wait, this is a ripoff, kids, we're leaving, as they just drop their merchandise and run. Which, if I know Grunkle Stan, they already paid for that merchandise.
They should have, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know why he's upset. But Stan gets the super mad and just like, you. And as Waddles just looks all innocent, just like, me? Then we move back to Dipper in his bedroom as he's like developing the pictures, as he converted his room into a dark room. The first picture kind of develops, and it's a pterodactyl wing, and he's like, oh, okay, if this is what this got, then the rush should be on. And he runs over, and a photo starts to appear, and he's like, the creature. And then Seuss comes in like kicking open the door like someone that lives in my apartment. And he's like, who wants victory nachos, as it ruins all the pictures as the light hits them. It's one of the things I wonder, like, the history of photography. Like, how did they realize that they needed, like, the room to be without light for the pictures to develop?
Probably through chemistry and understanding of the chemicals that went in it.
Mm-hmm. Scientists. Dipper's, like, all distraught. He's like, no! As, like, the pictures get destroyed. And then Sue's, don't worry, dude. I only ate like a third of them. Half of them. Okay, I ate all of them, dude.
Shows the empty bowl.
Yeah. As we kind of cut to Stan taking Waddles outside of the mystery shack, and he's just like, I just need 10 minutes in the, without this pig in the house, as he starts nailing Waddles down to a peg in the ground. And he's just like, and he looks at Waddles, and he's like, if Mabel asks, this never happened. He places a dollar like into Waddles' little collared rope thing. And as he begins, he's like, "El Cuco Stan, it's not safe out there. There's predators." Oh, brother. As a creature comes out of nowhere and grabs Waddles, and Waddles, with a pure face of fear, rightfully so, just being carried away. And then we have Dipper and Sue's kind of getting in a... And kind of an argument. He's like, dude, I can't believe you. And Sue's like, dude, nachos cause excitement. And his Dipper kind of says, hey, you gotta be a little bit more careful. Like, what are the odds that we'll get another picture of? And then the pterodactyl just flies past the window. And they're just like, oh my gosh. As they see it and they're all like watching the pterodactyl fly away. As Dipper's like, how is it even possible that it survived 65 million years? And they're all like, did you see it, Mr. Pines? And he's like, it took him. It took what? The pig. It took Waddles, as Mabel rides up. Just like, what'd you say about Waddles? Oh, wow. Awkward silence. And commercial break. to where we come back and Mabel's just like, hey, what? Like, what's going on? Where's Waddles? And Stan's changes. You're getting a puppy. And so, I was about to say, they should have remembered, and I realized only Dipper saw Mabel freaking out about the pig in the Time Traveler episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty much, Sue's, she's like, what happened? And Stan's trying to come up with a story. And Sue's like, your pig got eaten by a pterodactyl, bro. Just like... what the heck? Come on, dude. Where's your tact? I can't blame him. I do the same thing when people ask about my mom, which happened at the funeral I had to work at.
Oh, awkward.
Yeah. So that was fun. Well, more fun for me. And so Mabel, rightfully so, is just like, hey, I told you not to put him outside. And then Stan comes up with the, he's like, no, you're acting suspicious. What's a pig? And then Dipper's like, well, then what did happen? And goes back to where it's just Stan caringly taking care of Waddles, swaddling him, feeding him, what's he say? The
richest of creams.
The richest of creams, yes. And then and he's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden a pterodactyl bursts through the door, grabs Waddles out of Stan's hands, and he's like, so I said, and then he just hulks out. He's just like,
rips
no,
his
guys,
shirt
get...
off. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, his arms rip his sleeves off by growing, and then rips the rest of the shirt off. Built like a Dorito, and just jumps on the pterodactyl and starts punching him right in the face, and he's like, but he played dirty, which... This whole scene, the pterodactyl pokes Stan's eyes, and I'm like, wait, he has glasses. I'm just like, what happened? and he's like, and that's what really happened. And he begins, starts crying, and then as they come back to reality, he's covering his face, pretending to cry, and then he's just like, stops and like, looks through his fingers like, is it working? and it does. And so I'm like, okay. And Dipper, in normal Dipper fashion, is like, you punched a pterodactyl in the face? I thought you didn't believe in the supernatural. And where Stan's response is, dinosaurs aren't magic, they're just big lizards, get off my back. So the Dipper decides to go lead an expedition to go find this pterodactyl to get Waddles back. And they're like, how do we even find him? And he's like, oh, and that's when they find out that the sweater that Waddles is wearing, the ball of yarn was still there, or since it wasn't tied off, it may have unraveled within transit, because Waddles was still wearing, there was the ball of yarn, but then
Yeah, it was still. I think Mabel was in the process of finishing it. That's why it's still loose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, they all follow the yarn and they go to this like little. Oh, before they do that, they're all getting ready, that's when Seuss spray paints pterodactyl mobile inside his pickup truck, and he's like, "All right, the pterodactyl we'll know what hit him. It's pterodactyl," and they kind of, which. I like Seuss's reading. He's like, actually, no one knows how to pronounce because no one was alive back in dinosaur days. So, and then almost runs himself over. And that's when Dipper starts having doubts and is about to cut Seuss off. And Seuss is like, "I made t-shirts." And he's like, "Okay, let's go." But, before then, like, Mabel's like, "Wait, when was Seuss ever a problem?" And it's just like a little montage of him sweeping, knocks over a crystal ball in a shower. He's like, "Sorry, dude." And he's putting up a window and the window falls out and breaks, like, "Sorry, dude." And then the final cut is Mabel's like, "Look, a fairy." And Dipper's like, "Whoa." And then all of a sudden a fly swatter comes out of nowhere, killing the fairy. As Seuss just appears, he's just like, "Oh, sorry, dudes, I just killed that fairy." Which is a sound effect I heard somewhere. Like, I know people were able to use it as a sound effect or something. So they're like, "Yeah, okay, let him down easy." And that's when he's like, "I got t-shirts." And he's like, "Let's do it." And bros before dinos is what Seuss keeps saying. So anyway, they follow the red yarn and pull up to an abandoned church as they go in there, and there's Old Man McGucket, and just like, "Hey, what's up? What are we doing? Like, what are you guys doing at?" Or like, they ask him, "What are you doing out?" And he's like, "Never believe me, I was doing my hourly hootin' nanny, diddly doo ding dang," as he starts doing a dance, and Stan's like, "Oh gosh," rightfully so. He's like, "Yeah, pretty much the pterodactyl stole his spoons, and then flew down the abandoned mine, kind of flew into the abandoned mines." And everyone looks down there, and he's like, "Looks kind of hairy down there." And they're like, "Okay." That's what Stan says. And they're like, "Stan, remember, you punched a pterodactyl in the face." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I did do that. Okay." This McGucket gets in his face. "My, what suspicious laughter." it's like, "Okay, let's go in." And McGucket's like, "Do you need someone to tag along and tell weird personal stories?" And Stan's like, "No." And then just cuts to McGucket, and there I was. There I am, fighting a raccoon at the same for the same piece of meat. And when our mouths touch, we accidentally kiss. And he's like, "You can't take a hit, and can you?" McGucket just says, "Nope." As the rope breaks and they fall down and land on, a mushroom? A soft mushroom?
Yeah, something of that sort.
As Dipper's like, "These plants look all Jurassic-y." And they're looking around, they are still following the yarn because they have that there, as pretty much the light catches where they have petrified within tree sap a giant T-Rex. And they're like, "Oh my gosh." And then they look around and they just see all these dinosaurs, and they're like, "This is how the pterodactyl lasted so long, because it looks like the summer heat is starting to melt the tree sap, and so they're able to get out."
Yeah, because one of the dinosaurs does have like one claw out and is kind of like moving it.
Yeah. And they're just like, "Yeah, okay." As Stan's like, "Forget the cornicorn. We can bring people down here." And it's like, "We can call in some sort of theme park called Jurassic Saphole." And that's, the Velociraptor, like, kind of begins moving his finger, and everyone's like, "Or we can just get what we need and get out of here." And so they begin moving as Stan's just dreaming of where he can put stuff. And that's when he's like, "Okay, yeah." And he's like, "Okay, this is where we put this here." And then he says, "I should have let that pig outside ages ago." And that's when Mabel's like, "What?" And finds out the truth that Stan was lying. And she's like, "No, Waddle, you put Waddle outside and lied to me, and pretty much Waddles could be dead. I mean, and he's like, he's an animal who belongs outside. And pretty much he says, I'm never speaking to you again. He's like, you can't be serious. And Maeve's like, someone talking to me? Because I can't hear them. and so that's when Seuss is like, guys, don't fight. Why can't you be more like me and differ? Like, everything's going to be cool. All we got to do is follow the yarn, as he wraps the yarn back up into the ball and didn't see which alley it came out, like which mine shaft it came out of. And he's like, uh-oh. And Dipper loses it, which, I don't know, it's probably a little bit justified. And Seuss is like, no, we'll find our way. Dipper begins to get frustrated, and that's when Seuss pats him on the back, causing Dipper to the lantern to fly out of his hands and break. And that's when Dipper loses it, and and he gets mad because it's pronounced pterodactyl. These shirts are useless. They're gigantic. He's like, I have a different body type, dude. And so everyone starts arguing. As McGucket's like, hey, cheer up, I fix your lantern. as it just shows a giant pterodactyl standing above McGucket. As everyone begins to scream. As McGucket's just like, okay, what are we doing? As it says in here, commercial break. So it kind of comes back and says, okay, no one make any sudden movements or loud noises. Yeehaw, we found a pterodactyl! which caused the pterodactyl to start attacking, and as they start running to get out, they go and hide behind some rocks, which cracks me up because the rocks are like
exactly
their size, and they're like an inch or two thick. It's just like a cardboard cutout for them to perfectly hide behind. And so yeah, they're trying to figure out how they can get out, and they're like, okay, they're like, what if we put Seuss in a pig costume? And Seuss like, I like it, and we can use Seuss as a human sacrifice. And Seuss like, I like it. And they're still holding a little bit of a grudge, and that's when
is doing the silent treatment. Mm-hmm. So Grunkle Stan's like, come on, Mabel, this sounds like a good idea, and she's ignoring him.
Yeah, and then we hear Waddles, and Mabel's like, yeah, and like runs over this perilous ground to go get
Yeah, the bridge is very rickety.
Yeah, well, if it be called a bridge, it's just rails, mine cart rails. Mm-hmm. Just not even connected to any ground. And so Mabel's like, yeah, this is cool. And Dipper's like, oh, okay, Mabel, let's go, we gotta get out of here. As the pterodactyl comes back, and Waddles immediately freaks out and runs away, charges into Stan, knocking him over, and then the pterodactyl kind of swoops at them, knocking them off the bridge as they kind of fall down into this chasm below. And Mabel and Dipper are just like, oh, and Seuss are just like, no, like, oh my goodness. As they land, they bounce off another mushroom, land in a mud pile, and that's when Waddle's like, yeah, mud. Stan's like, you would enjoy this. Mabel's like, we gotta go save them. And Dipper is, sorry, this is like one of my favorite parts in this whole episode. McGucket, do you have an invention that can distract the pterodactyl? Do I? Just reaches into his hat for a second. Nope.
My hat's far away. I do have a hat on the ground.
All I have on the ground is this. A lightsaber.
Not a hat, though.
Yeah. I don't think it would help, though. I think I just found the cold open. Anyway, one thing I did leave out is that where Waddles was left, there was a giant egg, and there was like, it was a pretty much this giant nest, and like within the nest, there was all these minor helmets and bones. Which that was something else that was in this cave. There was tons of bones and minor helmets. Like, this was an abandoned mine that which they did say, but it looks like these dinosaurs were hunting down here before. Anyway, they were doing that, and there's the egg, there's the cop, the top of the cop car, there's the stop sign, there's like pretty much everything from the picture that Dipper was looking at earlier is in this in the nest. I'm trying to see if there was a picture of the nest in the thing, but it does not look like it. I'm also trying to see if they have an article for the pterodactyl, but it doesn't look like it. There's a dinosaur. Let's see. Dinosaurs. Nope, nothing there. Okay. And I don't feel like looking through the episode. But anyway, the egg that's in this nest cracks open as this baby pterodactyl comes out, and Mabel's like, aw, as Cuckin walks up, it's like, well, welcome to the world, the little feller. And the baby pterodactyl eats him. And as Dipper, Mabel, and Seuss all start screaming. And as this is going on, Stan puts together, like, oh man, a stupid thing must be hungry here. It's me or you, Pig, and shoves Waddles out there. As Waddles in the transcript says, give Stan a cute look. As he's like, what are you looking at? Just like, oh, come on, don't give me that look. What am I supposed to do? Let it eat me? And pretty much has a one-sided argument as Waddles just stares at him. And he's like, fine, I'll do whatever. As he puts on the Huggy Wubby tummy bundle. And he's like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. And he's like, he yells at the pterodactyl, you want this, Pig? As Waddles honks, and he's like, well, you're going to have to get through me, you flying devil. Come and get me. As it shows Stan slow-mo leaping at the pterodactyl. And we go back up to the nest. And so he's like, oh, dude, did you really just eat that prospector guy? That's messed up. As Old Man McGucket crawls his way back up his nest, like, I'm okay. And then gets swallowed again as his hat falls out. And so it's like, the Dipper, Seuss, and Mabel are like, oh my goodness, what do we do? And Seuss is like, we have to get in a straight line. The eyes are too far apart, so he can't see us. And like, the Dipper's like, Seuss, you've been wrong about stuff all day. Literally, how can he's like, dude, just trust me. I know I'm an idiot, but come on. And clumsy. Oh, he doesn't say idiot, but whatever. Yeah, he's like, I know I'm clumsy and I'm not as lovable as people think, but just as my friend, trust me. And Dipper's like, fine. Like, he's like, get behind me. And, it shows the pterodactyl looking at them, and then it kind of shifts its vision to show that they are. It is impossible to see them as, and the little baby pterodactyl kind of like can't see as they're jumping along the track, and they finally get out, get behind the rocks again, and then they hear the pterodactyl scream, and they're like, what the heck? As they look up, and they hear punching noises as Stan is on the back of the pterodactyl punching the pterodactyl in the face. The Waddle's on his back. And Dipper's like, he's punching him in the face. As Stan screams, at Hexheart, I stabbeth thee! And it says it stabs the pterodactyl. I didn't think he had anything in his hands. I thought he just, like, kind of
kept punching, yeah. Yeah.
Or, like, put his hands together and, like, did a downward smash, pretty much. As hits them off the cliff as Stan climbs up, and they're like, yeah! And, yeah, Mabel and Stan trade Pig for Hat. Because when Stan fell off, his hat fell into the nest. So, anyway, they're like, wow, which, but then a pterodactyl just gets back up and starts chasing them again, and they begin to run out, and they see that there's a geyser pushing a rock up, and they're like, oh, quick, the geyser can shoot us back up. And I was like, my head was like, where'd the rock go? And like at the last second, like everyone's like, oh my goodness, we gotta go, and as the pterodactyl gets closer, Seuss is like, pros before dinos, and punches the side of like little geyser cave as it sets off the geyser, shoots them up in the air, and they're all within the church. Mabel is happy to have Waddles back and forgives Stan, where Stan admits that he can't have his favorite niece not talking to him. as he leans on the sap and he's like, I do. And if I got to leap into a pterodactyl and punch him in the face, is what I got to do. And Maeve's like, that's kind of sappy. And Stan's like, well, no, that's how I feel. He's like, no, I mean,
his hand's
all stuck. And then creates probably another horror movie situation as he covers her whole face in sap. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, that's that. I don't know how she's able to breathe, but cartoons. So anyway, and while they're escaping, the pterodactyl kind of bit at Dipper's vest. And as they're driving back, like, shows Stan, Mabel, and Waddles all passed out in the back seat. And Dipper's, like, kind of taking off his vest and finds that there's a pterodactyl tooth stuck in it. And Dipper's like, yeah, thanks for saving me. And Seuss become friends again. And they make up. As they leave, the camera pans back to, I don't know why they wrote the house, because earlier they definitely said it was a church. But anyway, from the hole in there, as McGucket pops out, it's like, I ate my way through a dinosaur.
And he got his spoon back.
Yeah, he got his spoons back. He just ate a baby.
It ate him first?
Yeah. He went full xenomorph on it. Yeah, as it cuts to credits, and then Bobby's and Zombie's back on the TV. He's like, are your arms jealous of your legs? You need arm pants. The pants you wear on your arms. And Dipper's like, who buys this stuff? And Sue's like, yeah, cancel the order. Just picks up the phone, doesn't even dial, cancel the order. As Waddles and Stan and Maple are all playing poker, as Stan is unable to read Waddles' face, and he's like, ah, I fold. And he's like, I had four aces as big as a wizard. And he's like, yeah, Stan's like, look at him, he's taunting me, as Maeve's like, I've been cheating the last 8 turns. And Stan's like, yeah. And that's the end of the episode.
It's a fun episode. I like this one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, I don't have anything really to add. You covered everything pretty well. I guess I'll look at character revelations. According to Mabel, Dipper kisses a pillow that has Bundy's face drawn on it. Dipper knows how to develop film using the analog process, which you talked about with the chemicals and everything in the dark room. Seuss doesn't know how to pronounce pterodactyl. Stan is irresponsible for an animal, including Waddles. I don't think that's really a revelation.
Yeah.
Waddles has a fear of the following predators. How do they confirm that? But alligators, bobcats, coyotes, dingoes, golden eagles, mountain lions, pterodactyls. That just sounds like everything he should fear.
I wonder if it was written somewhere.
Maybe. The pterodactyls have survived for 65 million years due to being frozen solid in this tree sap, and the heat lets them loose every summer. Well, wouldn't they just get loose once? Like, they wouldn't go back in the sap, would they?
It depends on how much sap.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that is assuming
too much. Yeah. Fiddleford McGucket married a raccoon, and Seuss is clumsy.
And yeah, these aren't really those great of character revelations.
No. So continuity wise we have the patrol spot that Blub and Durland always sit at, we saw originally in the Deep End episode. Then we have the photo Dipper takes of the pterodactyl in this episode is the same one from the opening, which is a fun fact.
That's also the one on the side of the wiki.
Dipper's Babla CD from Dipper vs. Manliness appears amongst the garbage. Aw, not the garbage.
See that.
Yeah, I missed it. Mabel's bike and helmet. Sorry, the sentence is weird. Mabel's bike and helmet were previously seen in the hand that rocks the Mabel. The underground caverns with the dinosaurs trapped in sap were glimpsed in the Time Traveler's Pig when Blendin's suit malfunctioned. And then the ability for the creatures to be put into suspended animation in suites was established with Quentin Tremblay in The Irrational Treasure. I did not make that connection. Yeah, his was peanut brittle, not tree sap.
Mm-hmm. Unless the tree sap was all together.
Mm.
But yeah, this was, Oh. Okay, so I was like looking through here. Apparently, one of the trivia things is like originally Grunkle Stan was going to intentionally get Waddles caught by the pterodactyl, but then they switched it to make it because it made Stan seem too unsympathetic.
Yeah, you gotta balance it a little bit. We already know he's kind of a harsh guy. You don't need to like make him unlovable.
Another piece of trivia, which is not that hard, depending on your age, is this episode title is a reference to the film franchise, The Land Before Time.
Mm-hmm.
The series that, did it finally get to an end?
I don't know. I feel like I watched 8 of those movies and I don't remember what happens. It was my favorite series growing up, but I don't remember anything after the first movie.
I remember the first one was Littlefoot just trying to find out where his mom told him to go while making friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second one, like at the end of the first one, he finds his grandparents finally.
Yeah, and hangs out with them.
And then in the second one, the whatever island or place that they say it's super safe, we don't got to worry about it. There's apparently, as they call them, sharp teeth, which is T-Rex, I think they are. They find a baby T-Rex, and they're like, "You're our friend now."
I do remember him. Yeah, Chomper.
I think so. Yeah. I don't remember what happens in the third one, but I think in like the ninth one, the comet that's supposed to wipe all the dinosaurs out is like crashing to the earth. Or a meteor. It's like, I think it was sold as like it's the meteor, and everyone's like, "Oh," but no. The pterodactyl stealing Waddle was a reference to the beginning of Super Metroid, apparently. Where Samus tries to save the last Metroid from Ripley, but fails and escapes with the baby.
All right, so then, with all that covered, who would you say you were most like this episode?
Okay, so there's one line, one line that a character says, and it's something I say to pets and children.
So you're Grunkle Stan.
Yes, it is. And where it's right before he like changes his heart and goes to protect Waddles, but I'm like, I'm sitting there and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I say that line as like Waddles is staring at him. I say this to children and pets. I'm like, what are you looking at? I'm like, okay, nope, that's
too much like you. Yeah,
It was like a revelation just right there. I'm like, I don't need to go through all the episodes.
Okay, so,
or all the characters.
Yeah, that's your back-to-back Grunkle Stan. Yeah, I don't quite have a back-to-back, but I feel like you could probably guess who I really relate to most this episode.
Mabel?
Yeah. Animals over anything else. Very easy for me. Also, me having rules, like my rabbits are not allowed outside because
they're indoor animals.
Well, they're indoor, but there are a lot of predators. Like, I've pretty much said that line exactly. But the biggest reason is the neighbors that I had move in a little bit after we moved in, they have indoor-outdoor cats.
Mm.
So, the bunnies are staying inside with me. So then, who is your favorite character? Is it McGucket?
Yeah. It wasn't. It's like, no contest. It was watching this episode, I'm like, dude, like,
he's so fun.
It's...
That's a phone call. You? I'm mute.
Okay. So, while Hop does this, I guess as we said, I will continue. So, the year 4/22/2003.
Okay.
Dear Hop.
All right, I'm unmuted. I asked them to give me 5 minutes, and they said, take my time. So, favorite...
Okay, 30 minutes, here we go!
No! I would say my favorite this episode... I think I felt the most bad for Seuss. I think I'd put him as my favorite. He didn't necessarily have, like, funny lines, but he had some fun character development, and he had his redeeming moment, so I think I liked his story arc the most. While McGucket did make me laugh, Seuss also made me laugh, but not because he was being funny, but because he was being so bad at everything all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like, I think a McGucket-style character needed to be in this episode since everyone's emotions were so high that it was like, it was a It was like, good balance. Hey, remember, this is a funny children's show.
And then season two.
Yeah, season two, especially when we get to this part in season two. Well, actually, if we get in this part in season two, it's like...
It's pretty much all serious business. Yeah.
But no, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, I'm reading this and I'm like, am I going to get Grunkle Stan?
I have a lot more Mabel than I expected, so.
Yeah, I kind of, in my head, I was like, I'm not trying to fix my results, but it's just like.
That gut feeling. You got to go with it.
Yep. Hey, maybe, because the true protagonist does show up next episode. So maybe my answers will change.
Oh, boy. But yeah.
DM, I guess, forever DM, baby.
Yeah, so I guess D-Pain, you can decide if you want to edit out the bit where I got the phone call. If you did.
I didn't. You know, it was
short enough.
Yeah, it was short enough. I'll leave it in, and someday I'll get my second podcast in a podcast.
All right, thank you, everyone. If you listened this far, next week we're talking about episode 19. We're almost done season one of Gravity Falls. Time is zooming.
Yeah, we'll finish it mid-May.
Yeah, it might not be released all by then.
I think it all will come out by the end of May, because this is 18, right? Yeah, this is episode 18, so 17 comes out this week, okay. And then 18. Yeah, no, May 15th.
Wow. Okay.
And right. Then we start season two.
Oh, I thought you meant all of Gravity Falls. I was like, we still have a ways away until.
Oh, no. I was just thinking season one.
Gotcha. But, okay. Yeah.
We're going to do all season one in one episode.
I shall disappear. I heard a joke. I forgot what the audio was from, but, like, somebody was nervous, and to get out of it, they were just like, smoke bomb. So that's what I'm doing, because I got adulting to do.
Yep, so, bye-bye.